also played that. The fifth, when they became narrow, and then by that time the Westerns came to India first in 1932. And then I was losing hair, but still I had half of them. And then at that time Baba said, we need not wear that white cloth around our head. From that time, from 1932, then Baba gave us the freedom to have our hair open. We can do our hairs if we like. By that time, one or two grey hair was seen here. And it was very funny, it was okay then.
Then you want to cover it up.
And then Baba said, and people can see we're getting old now. Baba himself is God. Oversoul, universal soul, or how would you call it? God. He is everywhere. Yes. But then divinity is our soul. Then that body, God works, Father works inside. It's a great divinity. And we believe Baba is here also. The Baba, prior to such time, Baba was seen in the desert. Once in his own.
Couple of people too.
He's going in front of Baba. Baba knew that. Baba is watching very patiently. And then Baba says, go start. Yes, Baba, I'm getting right pitch, you know. Huh? And he will go, poo, choo, choo. Yes, Baba, this right. Then he starts, ra, 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 ra. No. That's good guide, you know, for your voice. Pitch, you must have a pitch. Don't you have it?
I had one once.
Expression in the face when I just
smile. Like this.
Oh no!
There it looked a little more
not
normal.
All special. Yeah. Like this. Something more natural.
A little ghoulish.
Baba said, my love brings you to me. So, Mishra's Baba loves you. So it's wonderful to be loved by the God man. Yes? And always know that. Be happy in his love. He's with you wherever you are. Say his name and he's very near you. Helping you always. My dear Baba. Staying? I'm waiting.
No, I have to go back.
Oh, okay. Oh, we'll be happy to see you again.
Thank you.
You're staying home or where do you stay?
At a hotel. Not really. Dog.
Wants us to be happy.
Jay.
I enjoy it because I'm painting at Choki ki jaise. Baba and Avatar Jani ki sign is Tariq. You must know that. You know that. Baba is the Avatar, like Jesus Christ. Baba is the Avatar. And he suffered for us. How many years of silence? You know, he loved singing. He had a beautiful voice for singing. But he gave up his singing, sacrificed his love for talking, singing, all for us because he loved us so much. He went through so much suffering. Two motor car accidents and other suffering, much. That's why I always I speak to Baba's photo, I tell Baba that only you know how much you suffer. Even we cannot know, living with him, we do not. So what I want to tell you that you are very fortunate to love him because now it is time for us to love him. He loved us. Now we must love him, yes?
Yeah.
Because he's God realized. Others, you may see, they just talk. They will give good talk and they gather people around them. But they're not God realized. They have a clever way of talking. They read Baba's books and they give the knowledge as if they know it. You see what I want to say? There will be many such. But don't go crooked path, the straight path to God, to Baba. Keep your path straight to Baba. There will be attractions this way, but don't be attracted. Remember this. So once you love Baba, keep loving him. Yes? And Baba said, I will never fail my lovers. So, somewhere or another, he'll help you. Yes.
I was looking after my sister.
Oh, you're looking after her? How are you going to get doing? How do you manage to do that? She's following another person?
No, not really.
No? But she stayed in Pune? Yes. And you both together, stay together, both of you? Good. Have you been in the hotel?
Sorry?
I tomb is very beautiful, just pink roses. For the, but even in Pune, you'll be... But keeping, you must keep sadness, you know, all day. Will you do it?
Yes.
Good. Jai Baba. Jai Baba. Jai Baba. May Baba bless you. May Baba bless you. Jai Baba. Love him more and more. And the girl had brought him back. No, I didn't see him go to Baba's room. So I said, you're sitting here, and he didn't go to Baba's room. And when we go to Pune, we don't go to the center, he gets a bit upset. Mm. Jai Baba, yeah. Ramakrishna. Why have you come back? I'm very pretty. You can't say it in English. Mm. How can you? Prem avatar hai Baba ki jai. Prem
is beloved avatar.
But he said beloved. Prem means just love. He is love. Avatar, who's love. Like that. But you can't say that in English. You see, you can't translate it. Hindi language is very sweet language. You can imagine how his songs and ghazals, how beautiful they must be, how much Baba enjoyed them. And the songs that you sing are beautiful in English, but yes, Baba who appreciates what is sung with love, your song. Each song is very beautiful. Other song is sang. Love song.
Yeah.
Yeah. Jai Baba. Jai Baba. Aap kaise? Theek hai.
You know, like, I read those articles that you've written in The Awakening.
Yes.
I mean, I enjoyed those so much because they're perceptively written. You know?
Just well, everyone seems to like them. Mm-hmm. That's a better finish the tea, sir.
Okay.
I mean, I think that it might be...
Sunday. You know, I talked to Delia,
oh, yes.
And Anita also had some very charming stories of Baba and the girls in Europe with them. And also Anita's very, the way she talked, you know, like she described Mary's face as like a Persian rose. Mm-hmm. I was amusing. I don't know how close she was with them or anything, but...
Well, she was very outgoing, and she was certainly very close. She was in Cairn, wasn't she?
Yes.
But she wasn't in our house, she was in the other house. Uh-huh. And she had that very way. She was always managed to make Baba laugh, and uh-huh. She brought that girl along. She brought another girl along who made clothes in Cairn. Does she mention her?
I don't remember.
She came to stay, and
she
then was
there. Delia said something interesting that I had never heard anyone say before, and maybe you were there at the time, I don't know. That she said Baba once told them that if Mara ever looked into the eyes of a man, that his work with her would be destroyed.
It's quite possible, because, I mean, yes, you put that at the end of your notes, so
yeah.
I'm going to ask you about that. Well, only in the sense that it would open her eyes to a form of sex. And once there was any sex in her love for Baba, his work would be destroyed. And therefore I can only say
looking the eyes
from
of another man.
That you don't know what they could, like I said, that even the shadow of a man
was
not destroyed on her soul.
Yeah.
And that was really the only thing. Baba had to keep her so pure. Mm. Because Baba could have chosen anybody for that work. I mean, I've heard sort of tales that even somebody else was offered that job. I don't like to call it that job. And there were the two sisters, you see. There was her sister Fabian, and that was not called a split, I suppose, a little bit. But you see, Baba knew who he wanted, and he turned
it. No, I mean, that's why, I mean, there must have been jealousy there, because
yeah.
Fabian, you know.
There was,
actually. I don't know if you ever knew her. Did you?
Oh, quite well. We were in Nantes
yeah.
at that time. Of course, I did quite. And so I think that it's true, Baba did say his work would be destroyed, but only from that angle.
Mm-hmm.
Therefore, other people might think, what a strange thing. It would be because you could never rely that a man's gaze is pure when he looks on a woman. I mean, and that could, and besides all the time that she was with Baba, there was never the thought of that. She never read any books. She came to Baba when she was 15,
yeah.
but Baba took her just at that particular age.
Yeah.
She's never alone. She's always coming in front and back. And yet you see she could not handicap others. He had to take her to her. If he wanted to. Couldn't live behind him. And I know the supreme thought of Baba Mangal that she must have kept happy. But I remember once Baba found fault with me about something. Well, I said, Mera had told me that. And Baba's remark was, do you expect me to find fault with Mera? Do you expect me to find fault with Mera for you? And of course I realized afterwards that ever anything went wrong, and Baba would address himself to Mani. Mani would take the blame, but Mani wouldn't answer back any more than Dada Chandy would. Dada Chandy was the scapegoat in much, much later years with the men, and we were concerned.
Right.
But Mani took the had to be a scapegoat if there was anything that Mera might have done. I think in the earlier days, afterwards I think that Mera matured, Baba would be quite
No, you know, of course, you told an interesting story about how somebody Baba told the Hitler, but that was only at the very beginning.
The Hitler?
No.
Of course, it
servant.
Servant did not ever happen.
Yeah.
She had to go, of course.
Of course.
Yeah. Oh, of course. And so much, I mean, even more important than that, I remember a very nice maid that had to go. She was a Mohammedan, but I know that she was sent away because of Mary. But only because that perhaps Mera in some ways doesn't need to be jealous of her. She was a very outgoing girl and Baba was very
No, stupid. That was Walu.
No, it wasn't.
Not Walu?
No.
Because
Walu was a special servant to Baba.
Walu? Yeah, but I mean, there was something.
And she was never sent back.
No.
She remained with Baba right to the very end because she almost dropped. And the other day we were talking about Baba, and I think Mera said she'd been a very special servant. Baba had no one else to do his work but And he took her even, you know, to Canada.
Yeah.
Oh, no. Yeah. But no, this was a father.
What, you mean she would just be too close with Baba?
Well, I can't say exactly, but just I know that she left, and I always felt and understood that that perhaps there was something there. But I wouldn't put that in the thing, because I know that would like me to pass on to everybody. But she had to be kept happy. Because Mera has to be kept happy for the work that Baba wanted her to do. Margaret has always said there were nobody could have taken her work. We might all have wanted to have done it, but there wasn't any one of us, did it, who could have played that part. It's only parts we play. Everybody plays a part, and she had to play that particular part with Baba. And as Margaret said, there wasn't one of us who could have sacrificed anything. No book writing.
Well, did you
no
see?
Music.
I mean, when you lived with him, you must have seen that mess. How she sacrificed on her part.
But I don't know whether she thought it was sacrifice.
No,
might have thought that she wasn't allowed to do this, and she wasn't to have somebody always with you back in front, to never sleep alone, to never go anywhere alone, never to be able to have any privacy whatsoever. No writing, no singing, and no books. No, she was not allowed either.
Margaret used to read her poetry, she says, she remembers that.
Oh, of course, and we could read to her. Mother could read to her. She was not allowed to handle a book herself.
You think?
Yes, She was never allowed to handle a book herself. What were some of the stories that Anita told you? Only one of the many of them came in to Mother's room.
No, she was recalling that when they that visit to Cannes, and she had to prepare the house. And even in 52, on their way back, you see, she was there in Switzerland. They were going to come to her place in France, but that was canceled because of the accident. So they went on to Switzerland.
Oh, I see. They were going to come to Paris.
Yeah.
Yes, I was reading that earlier the other day, and they didn't. They went on to Paris, and they were going to Cairo.
And she remembers, you know, taking Mara and them out for little outings, and how just the shopkeeper, they would say in French, comme elle est belle, you know, like how beautiful.
Of course it is. Do you know,
I often try to think, I mean, I've only known Mara since these last some years, but do you see a difference, Mara, from when you knew in those ashram days? And
no, she still remains the pure being that she is, and she's never grown really old.
No,
that she's still got the features of a very young, innocent person.
But just her nature or anything like that?
Well, her position is so different now. Her difference is only that she has no longer Baba here. And therefore, our natures don't change, Baba said. Our natures have remained always the same. But what that nature would have done had Baba been here still, I can't say. Baba put her in charge, and the girls all accept her as being the head of everything. They don't do anything without asking her advice. And she's the head of the household, and she can ask for what she wants. And they, I think, only had one order from Baba, that under every circumstance they had to not believe her, when she was alive, and that no one I mean, they would do their best to keep her happy. That's all Baba asked her. Very simple. They don't argue with
her. You know, serving Baba and pleasing Baba is one thing, but...
To do it, and then that's what Baba makes you do. To please, to want to please me, Baba says, well, then you have to see the members that day, or you must go. I always think that that was one of the reasons why Jean went, Jean Avril. She wanted to be in the position that
I thought that was
yes, and she was impossible. Baba had to let her go. Baba had very funny ways of letting you go that you don't realize why you're going, but you look back, you realize why. Now, we'll keep
going. Okay, go ahead. So, is this like Mommy?
Oh, no, right. Like, I haven't heard, did you want me to read it straight?
Okay, it's something.
Because it's only for your archive.
Yeah, yeah. Don't worry.
Fine. Okay. I can start off by saying the following are a few answers to certain questions. David Finster asked his answer and will be kept strictly off the record.
Yes,
recording.
Yes.
Very well. Okay, what is the date?
Today's the 19th,
therefore. This paper was read on December the 19th, 1978, in Bao's room at Meher's house. The name is Quarters, wasn't it?
Yes.
And it was put together at the request of David Spencer, who wanted to know what my reactions and experiences were during the Ashram period when Baba called me to India to be with the girls, which began in 1938. Our stay in India started from 1938, really, didn't it, until 1952. On the other hand, I did meet there in 1943, and therefore my first reactions will come prior to 1936. Okay? That's right. Now, 1931 started. During Meher Baba's first visit to England in 1931, he occasionally spoke of his women lovers in the East, and how one day he would take us to visit them in India. He would mention Meher and Mani, and how beautiful and loving Meher was. How much she loved him and how she wept when she would say goodbye to him when he had to leave for his work. I don't know whether she knew that he had come to England for the first time in 1931. I know at that time Mera was living in Nath in Maribel, I think, and she did tell me the other day that when Baba said he was going to be away for some time, they must go and live in Nauti, where there would be few of his lovers who would look after them together. I recall that before Baba left for India, either he or Delia and the rest of us were asked Baba if we could send some little present and whether Baba knew what Mera and Mani would like. And I think we sent little handbags. These we handed to Baba, and they were given in the care of Kaka, I believe. Mani, we knew, was Baba's sister, but we did not then know of the role that Mera was being destined to fulfill.
Can you think of anything else?
Yes, I was just trying to think of anything else in that 1931. No. As 1932. We had heard in between the two visits that Mera and Mani knew of Baba's first women lovers in the West, and Baba told us that they were so happy that their master was loved as they loved him by the West. And again, when Baba left us, we were allowed to send
only through Baba, some present for Mera and Mani. I think Baba may have said, Mera was the purest of the pure, and he loved him most of all. Their interest in us was all to please Baba. Traveling with Meher Baba and Mera, both Rano and I held but one thought, which was to obey Baba's order not to leave either side of Mera unprotected. No man must bump into her accidentally. This order was most strict. Mera had also to keep her eyes down. We would have to always inform her when to look down and when to look up. But Mera was always most cooperative and would never, under any circumstance, disobey Baba. She was absolutely obedient, and we had nothing to worry about in that respect. In fact, she helped Baba every way she could not to fall into that error. Baba did not explain why she should not bump into another man, but I think we ourselves could understand that to be that, being the purest of the pure, Baba did not want her in any way awakened to the other side of human life. She was to love him just for himself, for the sake of love only. 1933. We never were with Mera in these early years alone, unless with Baba too. Baba gave no one that responsibility of even following his orders, of not talking about men or anything like that. But when we arrived, Baba would be there, and only in his presence did we embrace her, and always Mera first, before we were allowed to embrace the rest of the women mandala. And the same when leaving them, it would be always Baba would call Mera first, and we would say goodbye and embrace Mera, but always in front of Baba.
Do you remember that first time?
Quite well, quite well. At this gathering, we did put on saris, each one of us, and Mera with the others would help and show us how they should be draped. Yes, they were all assembled in this place, I think it was...
Majestic Hotel in
Candevli. Candevli, it must have been. And they were all waiting in the room, and we were all rushing in, you see, because we hadn't seen Baba for some time. And I know I fell almost down when I went in, and the first person I remember seeing was Mera, and I know she was so young then. She had this long hair down her back. It was in a plait, I think, and she was so beautiful. So absolutely pure looking, wonderful skin, and just happiness personified, you might say.
I mean, you were always so close to Jesus, you must have thought this is like the Virgin. Didn't Baba say that once about like Virgin?
Well, I never pictured the Virgin Mary as young and as beautiful as the Mera was, no. Not so, no, as an older woman, because I only knew of her as a mother, you know. A little different. Mera was very beautiful, young, graceful, elegant, and you felt the purest of the pure. And she had a beautiful sari. It might have been white, but I can't remember that. Ready to obey anything that Baba asked of her, to come forward or to retire. And I recall during the actual darshan and that short concert on this first day, that Mera remained upstairs with Dolly. That was Adi's sister. Yes. And she never for a moment wanted to be, although she never wanted to, for a moment to be separated from Baba when Baba was present. And Baba's order to Mera must have been very hard for her to keep. I remember, let's see, Mani acted a little play about the school teacher with her glasses on, and it was very, very amusing. But I know our thoughts were with Mera upstairs, you see, because she was not allowed to come back. Right. There was something happened upstairs, but I don't remember what it was. I don't know what happened to Dolly. He guarded her as no one else could have done. And always you felt that Baba's one interest was to make her happy. Wherever we went, it was, well, would Mera enjoy it? We realized she was the special one. Just as much as the girls told me, Baba never told them that she was anything special. But Narjis said we knew when we watched the Begulas and Mera was told to go to Baba and perhaps sit by him, that she was going to be somebody special. But Baba himself never said she is the chosen one. But we realized she was the special one, but in what capacity we had no idea at that time. The rest of the women were equally alert to see that she was happy and all attention to her all attention was for all of them to please Baba in this matter, you see, because they felt that Mera was something different, something so infinitely precious to Baba, and later to his work. Yes, she was infinitely precious to Baba, you see, and later also to his work. I think that that was 1933, wasn't it, you see? Yes. Now in 1936, the second trip, 1936, again on our visits to Mehrabad, Mera was not visibly engaged in the work entailed by our visit. She remained always with Baba, sitting on his right during mealtimes, fetching him his water and glass. I made a mistake, and I thought Baba was thirsty, and I remember rushing into the, it was on this day, I think, fetching and rushing into the kitchen to fetch him a glass of water. And of course, Baba took the water from me. But then I was told naturally afterwards by somebody that that was Mera's prerogative. Nobody under any circumstance would go and get water for Baba unless Baba had asked for it. But that was always Mera's prerogative, to bring him the food, to see to his food, and to be with him. I don't ever remember Baba being up on the hill, ever, without calling Mera to be by him. That was her duty. If, as soon as I get up on the hill, you must be available. We could be running around and still finishing our jobs and one thing or another. But Baba did not expect Mera to be busy doing anything once he got up on the hill, unless he said, go and fetch me this or that from the kitchen. And then immediately Marnie would go with her and Korshet. He wouldn't send Korshet to get it or Marnie. Mera would fetch it and bring it back, you see, to Baba. Baba arranged certain programs. As an English lesson to some when we were up on the hill. Yeah. And I think Margaret read poetry with Mera. All at Baba's order and instigation. Nobody was allowed to carry on with their job after Baba had said, stop. Baba wasn't interested in the results of anything that you did, but he wanted you to just share something, you see. And later on, I gave Mera piano lessons, but that was when we were in Cannes, I think. But Margaret started straight away to give exercises to Mauni and to Mera, which I think they still do, and also the poetry, and I think perhaps may have been a little reading as well, and they would discuss poetry.
Mera often remembers how you used to come from Mera body and give her piano lessons here in Mera's
lab. I suppose so, right. And Mera said, no, I don't remember that, but the piano was here, right? Yeah. Yes, they did. Mera worked at nothing for herself, and if she may not wanted to do music, but if Baba wanted it, she did it. It was very difficult for Mera to throw herself into anything at this period. Yeah. Only Baba.
Concentration.
Absolutely, only on Baba. It was as Baba was, one thing as I feel Baba was doing with every one of us, was to get consciousness away from self onto her. And whatever he was doing for us, he was doing 200-fold for Mera. We could think about other things, and we did, men, books, whatever you like. But Mera, he wanted her to think of nothing but himself. And all the things he would give her to do when he was away abroad would be, and we saw them on these occasions, was making little brooches, she spoke of that, made with the nails, right, and the hair. Umpteen thing, we've all got brooches made by Mera for us individually. Korshet made them, and Mera made them. I think Marnie may have made them too. But the whole essence of their doing it was to keep their attention on Baba, you see. Then we saw where Mera and others had written Baba's name 100,000 times or something like that. But it had no value apart from the fact that it was obeying Baba and it was doing what Baba wanted. It was keeping her attention, but she may not have realized any more than I did that that was the purpose for which Baba wanted us to do, was to keep, he wanted to keep them busy and not weeping, because Mera would always weep, I think, a day or so after Baba had left. And Baba didn't want that kind of love, you know. He wanted us to be active in our service to him. Therefore, he would give all these little things. They had to play volleyball. They had to go for a walk at 5 o'clock. They had to do sundry little things. Baba still organized every hour of the day.
You know, I think that's what keeps you going even today.
Right, because you see.
She remembers, oh, Baba wouldn't want me to like this.
Oh, no, to please, no, no. It's always, I mean, my own thought. We cannot do certain things, not because Baba's ordered them anymore, but because we know that it wouldn't please Baba, you see. And that's why she sees people now. And that was what I heard, that it was in 1968. In January 1968, Baba had a darshan. Perhaps you heard that. And he told her, sent word, and told Mera, said, all of you go and put on your very best and be with me on the platform and do this when the Gosha begins. And they stayed there, she said, 20 minutes, and they had never been looked at the mandala. And Baba would even have allowed them to look at men, but never, never at the mandala. And Dr. Hattie Kenmore was the only one who saw Baba. Mera saw face to face, and Momed, I believe, face to face. Otherwise, mm-hmm. Baba didn't. Momed, the master. Oh. And otherwise, Baba didn't
there was
let.
There were two, Adi Junior and Will Backett also.
Did he? Did they? I didn't know that he'd let them. Well, Will Beckett, I can understand. And I suppose David, in 1954, that's right. That was in that segregation, was it?
No.
Oh, that was in the...
54, Men's.
Yes.
But this you're talking about 68.
I'm talking this 68. Oh, in 1954, that was in when all the Westerners came over? No. Oh, Barbara allowed her to be present, right, yes. Was that a special occasion or what?
You know what happened is he brought them into Marazan.
Yes, I remember that.
Tour.
Yes, and...
As they were going in the back, he called Will Beckett over and in the back of the house.
Yes.
And he sent for Mare from inside and said...
I see, right, yes. Well, she was a very... Right, I mean, they neither of them lived sexually together. They were both Sufis, both Mary and he. And therefore he could feel that in his look there could be no sex whatsoever. I mean, that was... I can understand that. But the same with the mass, too. Mm-hmm. That was what Baba had to prevent. Baba, even a glance, you see, Baba... Couldn't afford to pass over Mera. Not in those times. Yes, the English lessons, and some gave it French, and I gave Corshed an English lesson, and I don't think Marnie, we started typing at that time. That was in Cannes. Yes. And then, of course, there were the times when we were asked to go up to the hill, and then some of us got ill. And Baba would be very upset because there would be Mera and all of them all ready to receive us all from Nasik time, and then some would be ill and they wouldn't feel the importance of it. But on those occasions when we had our meals up there, Mera was always sitting on Baba's right, and he was always, first of all, he would serve her, I remember, and then he would serve us all. And then he'd take us all around the ashram together and he'd give us little talks together. But the men were never present, only the women. Never. Baba was so strict and never... And you know how he would never allow the door to be unlocked in the early mornings up on the hill until he got there. Marnie, Marnie had to lock that door when Baba left every evening. She locked. Key was left inside. And under no circumstance was that door unlocked until Baba knocked his own way in the morning. Might be 5, 6.
They kept them, come out there.
Oh, everything, right, yes, all right. Well, there was no public bathrooms. We had commodes upstairs too. But they could not come out for anything. And then, of course, there was always Marcy with them and Valu in that same room. Mm-hmm. Marcy, Valu, Corshed, Marnie, and Mera. I think after, and Nadia, of course. Mm-hmm. All of those, for some years, they were locked up there and we were in a different part, you see.
Well, but Bob would come up pretty early.
Oh, but he didn't come up. He was already sleeping in that little room where the ambulance is, you see. Oh, yes, about 5 in the morning. That's right, in the way. And we'd have straight away his bath, then he'd have his breakfast there, and then he would come out. And as I said, many, many were the times when I know that Mera would say, well, now, Baba, let's go out and see the Westerners. I think they'd like to see you. He's told us that. He said, why are you here? He'd ask us to go into the room. He said, why are you here? Because Mera suggested you would like to all come. And let's see, what was the occasion that I was thinking? There was one very special occasion. And the same in games, it could be the same. I thought it just slipped me, but there was...
An occasion when, according to Mary's suggestion, you all were called?
Oh, yes, and we were often called into Baba's room if Baba wanted us to tell her something. And the Mary wouldn't be turned out of the room, but she wouldn't enter in the conversation. She'd just go on doing what she wanted in the room. And Baba would just communicate with us. I was often called to write letters to different Westerners on the board. Baba would read it on the board. Then I would write out and Baba would be correcting it. But Mera stayed in the room. I don't ever remember Mera being turned out if she was in the room. If Baba had anything very, very special to tell us, we would be called, the older ones would be called down the hill. He never wanted Mera to feel out of it. Mm-hmm. But he never shared any single thing of the men mandala with the women mandala. They might not have existed, those men. Marnie was different. I'm quite sure she knew a lot more. But never with Marnie. Baba was so strict that we shouldn't mention the name of a man in front of her. Because we were always forgetting, you know. I mean, we were just always forgetting.
Baba must have scolded you.
Well, I'd be more disappointed than anything, you know. Disappointed. Because, you see, Baba knew how the dangers that there might be as regards his work, which always came first. And as I say, that she was never engaged in preparing the meal or doing anything of that when once Baba was on the hill. Everything had to go, and Mera was called for and would remain with Baba during his rest time, too, until he went down the hill. Not to mention anybody's name, particularly of the Indian Mandalay, nor of the Western men, nor of books or films in which a man's name might appear. We would occasionally forget, of course. Can.
Now, of course, you'd go to films and she'd
say. Yes, that's right, but then the Mandalay would never, they were always out of sight.
On the film itself.
Yes, but they were men, they were Indian men, they weren't the Mandalay.
Yeah.
That's right, yes. There were those occasions, right? And Mera must have been with us, of course. Yeah. Yes, she must have. But they were. We were very far away, and they weren't real men either. But that was with Baba, you see. We could never take her alone. Now, in Cairn, we were just one happy family. We were in two or three different houses, you know, and you read all my account how I wasn't there, and etc. I had no need to go there. And I found the wrong house, and they didn't like it, and it was too dark, and Mera wasn't happy there, and so Baba had to find another house. It was too dark and too secluded. But Baba found the other house, and I wrote all about that, and Mera was very happy there. And Baba chose just those who would fit in with Mera, you see. I don't think, we may have had a few little uncomfortable affairs. I was a little bit hasty and moody in those days. But it didn't upset the atmosphere. Elizabeth was there, and Elizabeth and I went doing the housekeeping. Narina, was she there? No, of course she was sick, wasn't
yes,
she?
Yes, Narina was there.
Oh, she was
she
there.
She went with her to find that other house.
Oh, yes, Narina was there, of course, and Elizabeth. Narina had to... Are you sure? Had Narina? Oh, yes, it was in 52 she was there, of course. Not then. Oh, yes, and she was very happy there. It was a bright and cheerful house, and Baba was right up at the top in the hill. But she was always with Baba there so much. Baba went to the Mandalay and to the other women's house up till about 11 o'clock in the morning. They would come for lunch, and he'd be with us for the rest of the day. And one happy family, instructions when this was on our visit to Cairn, wasn't it? On the way. We were
on the ship?
Yes, instructions, right. When we were on the boat, the instructions when Baba was rested and went to see the men on a different deck, our responsibility was even greater. We could take Mera on the deck and we could go for walks. And Mera walking either side of us, you see, so nobody bumped into her. But if we went to the gym or to the swimming pool, that would be in always special hours and during meal times when most of the guests were eating, you see, and the other were eating. And we were asked to have the gym for ourselves. And then Baba would always be with us to see that what Mera was doing, you see. And I remember Baba...
She wasn't well.
Oh, yes, on that trip she was. She kept really pretty well. Coming back, and yes, of course, I was already then in Cairn. And during that visit, they were very sick. But that was a very difficult time. Baba had a difficult time then. But going back, it was a very easy time. Rana and I had this job between us. And Dada Chanji was there, I remember. Baba would ask me to wash the clothes for himself and Mera when necessary. And when ironing them, Baba appeared one day and told me to be very careful that not even the shadow of a man fell across the ironing board as I ironed, but I never questioned why.
Was that on the ship?
At the ship. No, down in the room where they were being washed, Baba came
by. Was that the first time that you'd ever washed Baba's clothes?
Yes, because Valu had really always done it, I think. And I don't think that in the early days in England knew enough about things to ask Baba if we could do things like that. We weren't quite up to things. Kaka was there, and Kaka, I think, was always saw to all that, you see. At food times, always after Baba was served, Baba would see to Mera's food himself, at times share his food with her, but she came always first when things of that kind. We played games in the cabin, and Mera had no fear of the boat. There was engine trouble once or twice, and Baba was on another deck, and we rushed from the deck window. We would stand just outside the deck window so nobody could peep in sometimes, you see, inside the cabin to see if Mera was afraid. Her answer, quite simple, was, I see her saying it today, but Kitty, what is there to be afraid of? Baba is with us. As naturally and calmly as you can imagine, we were the ones perhaps were a little nervous, you see. We certainly were the nervous ones.
You happened in America, there was an earthquake, you know? There was an earthquake in India.
Yes.
Bob was sleeping in the next room, and Mara got up and moved to the room. Bob was nervous, right. So I wanted to be afraid. The others were running around. The
right, yes, you see. Now, I suppose the blue bus came next.
Yes.
Yes, right. The blue bus. Baba, of course, was always in front all the time, with Elizabeth driving plus one man, Mendeley. And then there was a curtain always put so that Mary could sit just behind, and if Baba wanted to communicate with her, he could himself draw the curtain aside without Donkin or whoever was sitting alongside of him, you see. Baba himself would always see where all the men had to go out of the way before Mera entered the bus, and she'd always come in, I think, with Marnie as a rule, you see. And then she would sit in the seat behind the curtain. Very strict was this procedure. Again, Rana and I would be responsible, but also Marnie and Korchet or Marnie and Meru. No change ever for Mera, just no chance ever for Mera to see the Mandalay face to face. On trips, Baba was 100% more careful. Most daytime as well as nighttime, doors all locked, etc., etc., and not unlocked until Baba would appear from his quarters in the morning. Of course, when we were in the blue bus tour, Baba was away a great deal of the time, but he would never leave the bungalow in which he had placed us without first seeing that Mera had her room properly with Marnie, and she'd have her orders probably not to leave that room until Baba returned. The rest of us could take what bedrooms we liked, until sometimes Baba found we were a little bit selfish about it. Then he'd come and see that those who were not so well had perhaps the better quarters. Baba never missed anything, you know. Yes. If on Mehrabad Hill without Baba, the same procedure. Baba would plan the activities during his absence, and if it was a walk or so, or games outside the compound, Rana and I always had to be there. And Mera had always to take part. She had to take part in it. Only to please Baba, she wouldn't otherwise. And walking from her one room to another, Marnie or Korchet were always with her, or in behind or in front. No privacy whatsoever for Mera, unless in the bathroom or the toilet. That was actually the fact. And, of course, when Mera was ill on the boat, it was only Baba who attended to her. Only Baba, what if she had the medicine or anything. Because she was very sick on the boat. Now, Mera's work was always to cook for Baba and to serve his food to him and to be with Baba at all times. And now she doesn't cook for Baba, but all the rest she does. Nobody else does anything. And Mera is just the right person because she never argues with Mera as to how it should be done. But she's got that delicate sense of touch and the quiet way of doing things. You know, Mera never puts anything down to make a noise. It's put down gently and quietly, you see. And even now she has Baba's chair always put ready, a little flower in front and a little dish there. And we always say Jai Baba to Baba's picture, you see. Never forgets Baba. Never forgets Baba for one moment. I'm told she doesn't even sleep very much at night. But I don't know whether that's what Baba would like, but we're not to say anything about that.
He's given her instructions, she must take a nap, so she always remembers
right.
That.
Oh, right, and she sleeps sometimes till 5, we don't even wake up. If any of us were called to Baba and the talk was private, Mera would be asked by Baba just to turn away, and then she'd occupy herself with other duties until Baba recalled her. Yes, that used to be in that big room on the top of the hill. It was so big that Baba could be on his guardie and talk to all of us in front, and she could be busy at the back. She would have Baba's orders to enter into games during Baba's absences or when Baba was present. She might have preferred to remain alone, but Baba did not want this. They were to keep active, thinking only of Baba. Hence that was that non-action, inaction. Two things I learned there. Non-action, inaction. I mean, everything was done for Baba, therefore there was no adding to your sanskaras whatsoever. And the other one was having only one object, the one in the many, because they didn't do anything if it, unless it was for Baba. Absolutely nothing. So those two lessons, although they were not conscious of it, but Baba was trying to get their consciousness where he wanted it to be. And one realized that every thought, word, and deed was done only in remembrance of Baba with love throughout the day and probably into the night. Consciousness without ever using the word, Baba was Baba says everything is consciousness, you know. If there was a beginning, it was consciousness. Evolution is consciousness. And involution, reincarnation is consciousness. And if there is an end, Baba says it's an end in infinite consciousness. So they became one-pointed, the object Baba, the one in the many. Baba saw there were no distractions, no reading of books, no writing, and no singing. Of course, the big change came in 1947 when Baba moved to that. There was must have been a very, very big change there, because Baba's training, in a way, must have been complete with all of us, because then there was never quite the same in Merazad. There was much more laxity, you know, in Merazad. It was more like a family. And even in the new life, it became much more lax too. And even when I went to stay in Merazad, I could feel the difference. There were no rules, really. No, we got up when Baba wanted us to be ready for him and things like that. But it was quite a different life. So it really was, Baba had trained Mera up till then, and strict, absolutely strict. But then she became free. It means Mera free, you see, Mera's there. She was free in a sense that she was never free ever before.